Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, we've got Steph going crazy. We got expansion. We got dads fighting. I'm Zach Harper, the host of POC. Jade Hoy producing. In this corner, the Bay Area legend, the author of two best-selling books about the Warriors. It's Marcus Thompson. Marcus, how are those Nike MT2s you received for Christmas?
Yo, I already wore them to the bank. Got two compliments. They were like, yo, nice shoes. My daughter is great, right?
Wait a second. People still go to the bank?
Yeah.
What?
You go to the bank?
What'd you go to the bank for?
Local neighborhood bank.
Yeah, when you're getting those Marcus Thompson checks, you can't just direct deposit that.
I'm simply a direct deposit, man.
You know,
sometimes
you need some cash. You know, okay. Sometimes you got to move some things around. You got things to do. You know,
you got to move some things around. Absolutely. Speaking of moving things around, in this corner, the Bay Area suburban legend, author of The Victory Machine, Ethan Strauss. Ethan, congrats on the Victory Machine being featured in a Turkish magazine. You've gone global, and I wonder if they think you're that famous Turkish chef.
I think that would help me. I think I would love to one day visit Turkey and see if I can trick people into thinking I'm that guy, and then have them be very confused that I can't speak the home language of my country.
Or you
There's choose a Turkish
not
chef
to.
Trying to figure out sous vide because they found it on Instagram.
Because that's all they hear about is sous vide this and sous vide that. Speaking of cooking, Jade, start the clock. Take one. Is everybody going Stephen crazy this past week? The internet does what it does and decides to litigate the legacy of one Stephon Wardell Curry. I actually think that's backwards. The internet piled up on the two-time MVP following a blowout loss to the Blazers, a game in which Curry was boxing one out of the building at the time he was playing versus all five Trailblazers. But as he does, Steph Curry followed that up with a 62-point explosion in the second game of the back-to-back. Following the game, Steph said to the virtual media, "I like being talked about." Ethan, Marcus, you both cover this beat, and I'm curious to know what you think of all this.
That sounds creepy.
I don't want to get into a legacy debate because that's dumb. But why does social media stir things up every single year with Steph Curry? Ethan, you go first.
Boredom, number one. Okay. I think that's number one is boredom. Number two, he didn't fit the prototype of a superstar athlete, so a lot of people didn't believe in it. A lot of players, ex-players especially, were resentful. And obviously, the thing that's right in front of our eyes, folks, the vast pro-LeBron media conspiracy that riles people up from secret accounts and not so secret accounts and dictates the conversation. That is what is really happening. Open your eyes, people.
Marcus, do you agree with this? Why does this happen?
I agree. I do think it's Oscar Robertson's fault. It's
it's the big O.
Well, if I had a penny for every time I heard that.
It's the contingent of play. Like, look, this is a players' league. Fans, NBA fans love players probably more than any other sport loves players, right? So NBA fans ride with the stars. And there were a bunch of stars basically saying, yo, we don't like this dude. And I think it's stuck. I do think it sticks. Plus, Steph has, like, tortured many a fan bases, right? Like, they've met their demise at the hands of the babyface assassin. And it's this, like, little 6'3" light-skinned dude who went to Davidson. Right, it's not even like you didn't get deboed by, you know, a big monster who's like this physical specimen. You got beat by a dude who might have been behind you in line at Starbucks and you didn't know it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's why your team can't win. So, yeah, I do. I think those two fans. LeBron, obviously the biggest one. Like his fan base is so big that his rivalry. But still, that doesn't explain why you just don't appreciate it. Like LeBron has had other rivalries. Like nobody hates Paul Pierce because of LeBron.
I think the beating teams Paul is key.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Paul Pierce is, it's a beating team, so it's like Damian Lillard, I think, has 100% approval rating right now. I don't know,
You know why, right?
Because he's cool. It's redundant. You know, obviously what I said is redundant, but additionally it's that he hasn't done big winning. Big winning stokes the jealousy. It stokes the resentment. That's what gets it going. If Steph had never won big, I don't think we're really in this kind of situation.
There was a time where Steph was just cute, right? Like, it was like a league pass thing. Like, he made a bunch of threes and it was fun. Yeah. When they won a title, that's when it was like, all right, yeah, do we like this dude or not? So,
yeah,
but it's all earned. It's all part of the game. Like, people hated Jordan, so it's fine. Like, he's got to
deal with it. I have a theory. It's the shimmy. The shimmy is the worst celebration you can possibly do. If he was simply turning around on three-pointers every single time before they went in, I think people dig that. But hitting them and then doing the shimmy, and it's not even a good shimmy.
Yeah.
No, Dame time, he's not a good way better celebration.
Yeah, Dame time not is a good great. Celebrator. Dame time's killer.
Steph's not a good celebrator. Cool. He's a dad celebrator, right? He celebrates like a dad.
Yes.
Not even that. You know, like, I feel like a dad wouldn't. I mean, he does rub it in your face to a degree. I mean,
my dad rubbed it in my face. Like, my dad beat me and talked about it all week.
Did your dad shimmy though?
Yes, yes.
He's from Oakland.
He did his very well. Nah, come on. Dads are the worst at it. Come on.
So, all right.
This is like we just made Ethan feel like Mrs. Dad. You gonna call your dad now, Ethan? You're like, Dad, you didn't shimmy for me.
Like, no, my dad never won anything. I mean, that's the problem. I could beat my dad at basketball from the time I was 9. I'm sorry, Dad, if you're listening to this.
Torched him. All right. So will there be a mea culpa with Steph now that he went off, or are they gonna have to actually win something?
Mea culpa.
No, mea
people
culpa.
Apologizing no. for what they said, or do they shift the goalposts to get further entrenched? I think we all know where this is headed. I think it's the goalpost shifting. At the same time, there is this broader question of what are we even talking about when we talk about this? When I remember Monty Poole was asking Steve Kerr about it, and Steve Kerr had no idea what the hell he was talking about. He had a conversation about Steph? Some on Warriors Twitter might say it's because Steve Kerr agrees with the haters. That might be one theory floated out
there. He did have a really good theory just waiting in his pocket, right? He had it all mapped out like he had thought about it already. I was like, hey, that's a pretty good answer for somebody who just got apprised to this.
Mm. And so what was that theory for the expository?
That he's small, essentially, right? He's like, he's 5'6", 6'8", he can't impose his will. He's not the physical specimen.
And then Steve starts actually indulging his own gripes. Like, he's small. You know, he can't impose his will. He turns the ball over a lot.
Too much. Yeah.
He dribbles too much. He takes a lot of really bad shots. Defensively, I'd say that
That's probably why people criticize him. That's probably why.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Here's what it's going to take for Steph. Like, he's going to get all of his just due, right? He's going to get all of his praise. I mean, he gets it now, but he's going to be one of those players that we romanticize. Like, when Zach's beard is fully gray, like, that will be romanticizing Steph, right? What's it going to take is going to be another guy coming up. And it might be Trae Young. Like, once he starts getting into the playoffs, he starts getting his own following, then the people who've been hating on Steph will side with Steph because they'll be mad at the Trey fans. And everybody will be
Steph Curry
Trey,
was different.
Yeah, he'd be like, he's no. This is the cycle. This is how it's going to go.
By the
way, right?
The Burr, way better celebration than the shimmy. Way better. But, you know, that's the price of being.
Also, the pointing to the spot on the court, like, that was genius.
That was great.
Like, right? Yeah.
But also, Marcus, don't interrupt the transition. You know, it costs a lot to be one of the top superstars in the world. Speaking of costing a lot, take two. How much would you pay for an NBA franchise? If you don't have $2.5 billion, Adam Silver doesn't want to talk to you. This week, it was released by ESPN's Brian Windhorst that the league is exploring expansion again with a buy-in of that aforementioned price of $2.5 billion. Obviously, the league is staring down massive declines in revenue and is looking to shore up losses by adding two more teams. That would be the most ever paid for a franchise. Each NBA team would receive $167 million. The question now becomes, where will those teams reside? Las Vegas, Seattle, Charlotte? Oh, wait, no. Charlotte's got a team. Okay, how about the lovely city of my hometown, my birthplace of Sacramento? Oh, no, that's got a team, too. Okay, well, then, you know. The Wolves are up for sale.
I can think of a city that could use an NBA team.
Oh, could you, Ethan? Please do.
I wonder what team that is.
There are 2,825 billionaires in the world, so we've got a lot of potential buyers.
Yeah, I could say maybe you could have a team come down to San Diego. You know, the Lakers, I know, have a bit of a footprint there, but all of Southern California can't just have two teams. I mean, it's ridiculous, but honestly, it's got to be Vegas and Seattle. I mean, that makes the most sense. Let's face it, as much as I love my fellow San Diegans, they don't exactly show up for the sports. Vegas is going to be super fun. That's going to be like summer league in the regular season. You guys are frozen on video. Am I frozen on video to you guys?
No, you're good.
No, we actually have good Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And actually, I think you guys just paused and tricked me like one of those French robot mimes.
Hey, Zach, we didn't even try. Look at
this. No, we didn't even try. We didn't coordinate. Right? Yeah, you just started talking. We just froze. We just froze right in our checks. Let me ask this question, though. Why do we need two teams to come in?
Wait. To balance it out, are you trying to throw out a team? Is that what you're trying to
We've
do?
We've had an odd number of teams for most of the history of the NBA. Mm. So why all of a sudden do we need this even amount of teams in both conferences?
More money.
We've
More
almost
money.
Never
you get
had
two.
This.
Symmetry.
You get,
sir.
You get two. But I think the reason
because,
the price,
just
I want to make one
it was
point.
Imbalance. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just one quick point on the finances. The reason the price keeps going up is because we keep creating billionaires way faster than we create NBA teams. So I think, you know, regardless of the profitability of the league, you're just going to have this, hey, there are only so many. It's a very exclusive club, no matter what. And for some of these guys, with some of the money they have, I mean, I don't even know how much of the portfolio of a Joe Tsai that the Brooklyn Nets are. It seems like it's probably a very small part. Or for Steve Ballmer with the Clippers. So you have those guys out there who don't yet have a team, and that's why they're going to pay top dollar. Marcus,
can Jeff Bezos own two teams? Can he just buy both of them?
Can he just buy the league?
He can buy all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are missing a very obvious city that's better than Vegas. I'm going to go with Seattle as the number one choice, but you're missing a very obvious choice for where the expansion should be. And it's a little disappointing considering the amount of time you've already spent in this place.
Really?
Oakland! There's an arena already right there! Warriors are San Francisco's team.
Wow.
Let's get the Oakland. Let's bring back the Oakland Soldiers or the Oakland Oaks. Let's go. All black ownership. Let's do it. Let's get some how about Damian Lillard come play for the Oakland Oaks or Oakland Soldiers or whatever. Pick a name. But
yeah,
there's a nice arena.
That ought to go over well as a team name.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Joe Lacob won't invoke the 75-mile rule that prevents a franchise moving within your sphere of 75-mile influence. Although maybe the other owners will just get
Bezos
together.
Bezos is like, I'll throw in another billion. Yeah, like, what are we talking about? I'm throwing another billion.
Bezos can just throw money around.
You know what I'm saying? There we go. Seattle and
Bezos
Oakland.
Must not
Already
like
linked.
He must not like sports. Bezos must be one of those not sports liking dudes to have this much money and not have bought a team by now.
Have you seen him?
His wife donated, his ex-wife donated $15 million to Clark Atlanta, so she's good with me.
Oh,
they
want to
just support HBCUs.
He should buy one team. She should buy the other. Let's get some vibes going in here.
And you got to put, one in either conference, right? So they can meet in the finals. Oh, yes. Yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely. We know they'll buy their way to it.
Bezos Bowl? Oh, man.
Bezos Bowl? Absolutely. This is the way to go. This is what we have to do.
I want our oligarchs to fight. Fight for our love. I love it.
This seems very
apropos. For our love.
Yeah.
With by proxy of these other guys.
Will both those teams end up going to the Western Conference? Will they go to the East? Who knows? Speaking of, take three. What is going on in the East? Are the Knicks better than the Nets? Can the Magic actually make the playoffs again? Are the 76ers finally on the verge of an NBA title appearance? So much going on in the East right now, and what to make of it, guys. What do you find surprising, and what are your most surprising trends happening in the East right now? Marcus, I'll start with you.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Surprising that the Nets were incredible without KD, number one, but that they've struggled to begin with. It feels like, even if I don't even play good D, it feels like they should be able to win anyway, just because they have the explosiveness. But it was interesting that Steve Nash decided to prioritize defense just out of the blue. Like, you know what? Let's stop starting these guys. Like, Jared Allen should have been starting the entire time.
Yes, he's right? Better than the weekend at Bernie's version of DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, man. He looked, man. He made the $200 million man look not so good. Like, he played incredible against Gobert. So that's surprising to me that they're kind of scuffling. I am also surprised that the Knicks are competent. Like, we got to say this. The Knicks are, like, Julius Randle looks like a really good player. He was the butt of a lot of jokes not that long ago. And he looks pretty good. He looks really, like, formidable. So that's the Knicks. I got to shout out the Knicks for being impressive. I'm not surprised that Philly's 6-1. But, you know, I think they deserve a shout out too. And the last one I'll say is, like, a bit stunning is just how bad Toronto is. Like,
that Tampa Bay Raptors team is bad.
They don't look like it don't even look like they're playing bad. It's not like, oh, they're a good team in a rut. They look bad. Mm-hmm. They look like, yo, it's time to blow this thing up. Like, it's really, they've fallen apart pretty fast. Wow. Even with the Warriors, when they were trash, it was like, yeah, they're all playing like the worst they could possibly play. So there's some ceiling here. It looks like they're just done. Like, what the hell happened to Pascal Siakam? Like, what happened?
I mean, dude, so you know what's mean is somebody put together a compilation of his lowlights from the playoffs.
That's
on YouTube.
Unnecessary.
It's extensive, but it's also, I was watching it recently just to what happened here, what went on. And it is remarkable. It is very Monstars, talent stolen. This guy was just on a rocket ship. He was ascending. I think we need to get to the bottom of that. Let's, you know, put the challenge to our Athletic Toronto colleagues. I need the answers.
Let's go Blake Murphy. Let's go Eric Kareen.
Yeah, get to the bottom of this. I need to know what's going on. And then secondarily, it's just a weird year. Weird year, weird season, right? I mean, the Nets, they look like the championship favorites on opening night, and then they're just completely teetering, and what's going on? I think we're just going to see a lot of this. This is a disjointed...
The Nets is so self-inflicted, right? Like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just bizarre. it's a bizarre season. There are all sorts of restrictions. The restrictions change. The rules change. There's not as much socializing that impacts people differently. You don't have fans. I think there are so many confounding variables that I am not going to rush to judgment necessarily in the way that Marcus is doing for the Raptors. I might chalk more of this up to weird year than they, you know, something's completely rotten here and needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, I do feel like this Eastern Conference is, well, I guess both sides of it, because there, it feels like it's just an extended preseason right now, right? It's just the results matter, but it feels like an extended preseason, and I don't really know what to do with any of it.
Yeah, it's I don't know what to do with it. I think it's funny that the Raptors are playing in Tampa Bay, as you mentioned, because nobody cares. It's never mattered less, a team moving to another country and a city without basketball. It's just a completely...
Well, right. Think about like the, like juxtaposing that with when the Hornets had to go from New Orleans to Oklahoma City, right? Like, and I, again, yeah, like, it's not like they just went. They went because of Hurricane Katrina, but like, this is because of the pandemic. But I wonder if it's because we all take hurricanes seriously. Not everybody is taking the pandemic seriously, Marcus. And so I do wonder, like, if that, or maybe they just don't care because it's Toronto's team instead of an American team. I don't know what the deal is here, but something
was Zach insinuating
off.
That Marcus wasn't taking it seriously?
No, I think Marcus and I are the only ones who do take it seriously. That's not true. He's going to the bank every other day, cashing checks.
I got my mask on, though. One at a time. I think it matters that they've lost Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, and Marcus Gasol. Like, I don't think... Tampa's something, a weird year, but guys are being put into roles that they've never been in before. And it's different when... Man, Fred VanVleet was amazing as a role player on that championship team. Now he's got to carry these dudes. Siakam was incredible next to them guys. Remember he was cooking Draymond in game one? Everybody's like, he's next? It's different when you're the guy. Like, it's a different beast, and he doesn't look like he's responding well. That dude is shooting 40% from the field. Like, are you serious? Siaka, like, this is, like, yeah, this, it's a different team. Not only that, they're in Tampa, it's a pandemic, but it's also a different team. Like, Alex Lynn is getting minutes. Like, what are we doing?
That's mean. He used to play for the Phoenix Suns, who were in the Western Conference. Speaking of, take four. How will the West be won? Oh, my goodness. Staying in that same lane, we'll look out west. The Suns are 5-2 at the time of this recording, and they look pretty good. The Lakers at the top, as expected. Clippers are where they should be. But what about the Nuggets, the Mavs? They're struggling right now. The Jazz just got blown out by the Nets at full strength. What are you guys seeing out west that's something to keep an eye on? Ethan, I'll start with you.
It just seems like there's one tier. There's one tier. That's the Laker tier.
Yeah.
And if there is an injury to potentially disrupt that, then the conversation changes and we open it up and we get into the matchups. But it doesn't appear as though the Clipper roster additions have necessarily vaulted them into that 1 and 1A conversation that we were having last season. And beyond that, it's kind of a grab bag. It's kind of, you know, I think part of it is informed by how we thought that Luka was going to take this extra step that we saw in the postseason, and he's going to be top tier MVP candidate. That was the expectation. And then he came in and he might not have been in the best shape.
He didn't take the extra step. He just kept taking extra dessert. That's what he did.
Yeah. I figured there was going to be something like that right there. And the shooting, he had shooting woes, and it just seems like, and you know, combined with the Porzingis health issues, that team didn't necessarily ascend. And then the Nuggets, I think a real blow was struck to them in losing Grant, and they're just not exactly what they were, and that's tough for a team where maybe the whole was greater than the sum of its parts. And so it just seems like some of the teams we were tantalized by in the postseason did not take a step and reach a higher plane, and the Lakers, if anything, are just more secure in their top dog status.
Yeah, they beefed up all of their role players. Got the one thing they were bad at was bench scoring, and they got the two best bench scorers from last season with Schroeder and Montrez, right? Like, they took care of that and then upgraded Dwight and JaVale. Yeah, and then they upgraded Dwight and JaVale to Marcus Gasol. Marcus, was that bubble maybe fraudulent based on the early results in terms of the Western Conference teams?
Man, I don't think – no, because the other team that I've been high on for a little bit is looking really good is Phoenix. Like, their bubble seemed to be real. I do think people underestimated these changes. Like, who is Dallas' second-best player? Like, you thought Josh Richardson was about to carry – yeah, it's like, yeah. No. I mean, Luka's great, but that just wasn't realistic. You know, Portland added Robert Covington, and people thought they were about to challenge the Lakers. It's like, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, he's good, but, like, he ain't got the answers, neither the sway, right? Like, I think people just – some of these moves that people super hype just did not see.
Jade loved that. Jade loved that.
Like, I was laughing more at Jade's reaction than the...
I was trying to ignore Jade. I was trying to finish my point. I don't know. I just never was enamored with some of these moves. It was like, all right, I mean, give me Dallas with KP, right? Then it's like, all right. Right. But right now it's Josh Richardson and Tim Hardaway. Like, are you serious right now? New Orleans makes a lot of sense. That's a team that played in the bubble and looked to be better for it. Which is weird because they lost Drew, but, you know, they've got some chemistry. I think the teams that play well in the bubble and didn't make a bunch of changes, like, yeah, who is that? I guess it's just Phoenix. Everybody else made changes.
Yeah, but Phoenix got Chris Paul.
Phoenix,
right?
Added, like, Chris Paul.
Maybe the bubble
was fake.
I also think on top
maybe
of
it was an episode of Lost.
The Dallas stuff, like, how much does losing Steven Silas go into that, right? Like, we've talked about in the past when, oh, man, I'm drawing a blank. Jeff Bizdelic, right? He leaves the Houston Rockets. All of a sudden, their defense falls apart.
Nah, Steven Silas is a black coach. You can't be giving them all that credit. Come on.
Oh, sorry. Well, you know, Rick Carlisle, he's got less to work with now, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't have Nate Duncan to yell at. Rick Carlisle doesn't.
No, but I think those little things, too, like, you know, Steven Silas, I'll do the Matthew McConaughey. Now imagine he's white. With Steven Silas, like, you know, if that happens and he leaves the Dallas Mavericks, you know, he helped orchestrate the greatest offense in NBA history last year, you know, and now he's no longer there. And with losing Chris Stapps, you know, Ethan, that coaching stuff does affect a lot of these, especially when it's coming to the organization of getting this stuff right in such a crazy, chaotic start to a season.
Yeah, it's probably also, coaching by the way, they
lost,
more than ever.
Before you go, Ethan, they lost Seth Curry, who was shooting like 50% from three, by the way. I do think, like, their struggle spreading the floor does not help Luka, who all you got to do is just guard Luka. So I do think that was a big deal. My bad, Ethan. Go ahead.
Nah, I just said maybe coaching matters more in chaos than when things are normal. That's potentially true, though I don't know what to make of that. With Nick Nurse, I consider him a top three coach, and the Raptors look like they look. So I go back to the original thought of weird year, guys. Weird year.
Weird year. Yeah.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a lot of infighting with a lot of these things, right? Maybe it'll cause some tension within the organizations if things don't go well. Speaking of Take Five, Dad Fight, the Sacramento Kings are 3-4 which actually normally be pretty good for them to start the season out. It's not too bad, but the turmoil struck, as it usually does to the Kings, when Marvin Bagley III, his father, or I'm sorry, Marvin Bagley Jr., the father of Marvin Bagley III, tweeted, "Hey Kings," and he added the Sacramento Kings, "Hey at Sacramento Kings, please trade Marvin Bagley III, love Coach Bagley." So very polite trade request from his father, but it was following a loss to the Rockets. He did say please, and he signed it with love. Those are important things. He didn't say, "Hey, you jerks, get rid of my son." To make things more interesting, Aaron Fox, the father of De'Aaron Fox, gotten into it by tweeting, "Trade him." So this is nothing new, as Bagley III is a history of agitating. Jason Jones of The Athletic reported that Bagley Jr. Also had a contentious relationship with ex-Kings coach Dave Yeager. Jones noted that Yeager once mistakenly referred to Bagley III as music legend Marvin Gaye, and that led his father to begin calling Yeager yogurt. So, with the Kings...
Hold on, Zach. I gotta ask, was Marvin Gaye dead? No, hold on. What's the Marvin Gaye thing, Zach?
They were in Detroit. They were in Detroit. He was talking. The media asked him about Marvin Bagley, and I think he slipped because they're in Motown. He said Marvin Gaye instead of Marvin Bagley, and then from there, you know, it was just slip of the tongue.
So it wasn't a shot at the rap career, like it wasn't a backhanded.
It might have been. Now that I think about it, it might have been him siding with Damian Lillard on that one. I'm not quite sure, but
by the way, Marvin Gaye died in 1984. Just as
Jaeger's an old soul. I've always said that. So Ethan, with the latest Kings turmoil, what the hell?
Well, I want answers on the trade him tweet. Is that in support or is that the opposite? That's the big question that I have. Is that, yeah, get his ass out of here, tired of his whining, or this is just unfair, I am supporting you, Mr. Bagley, we need to
you mean from Fox?
Pops have bad blood.
So there's bad blood between the dads. Bad blood, allegedly.
That's even more interesting.
So it's pejorative. It's like, hey, if you can't handle the Sacramento Kings, then, you know, we need a higher caliber.
You can't handle NBA basketball.
You can't handle... Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, so that's answered. That part is filled in. Do we think that Bagley is being under... I mean, it's tough for Bagley, because people have to remember that Bagley was as a younger player, EYBL superstar, like crazy numbers. And
he was better than Wiseman, right? Didn't you say that 100 times?
Oh, way better. Yeah. Way better. I mean, but he was better pretty much than anybody. And it's unusual for somebody to put up those sorts of numbers, EYBL, and not become an NBA superstar. And so this has to be a very humbling experience. I would have to imagine that his family envisions something different for him than his current predicament, which probably has a lot to do with the Kings, but also a lot to do with just how big men are used in the NBA. But I think that is an unsaid part of this, is that the Bagleys likely had higher aspirations than what they were seeing.
Well, Marcus, I think on top of that, too, with Marvin Bagley III, look, he had a very promising rookie year, but it wasn't Luka and it wasn't Trae Young, right? So that puts pressure. And then he was hurt most of last season, barely got to play. And then he starts out this season and he just sucks right now. Like, he's bad. Like, he's not even shooting Pascal Siakam numbers. Position. He's been bad. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to be at the five. I mean, it's just too congested. But Rashawn Holmes is just playing better. Like, flat out, no question about it. So this is interesting. I just want to shout out the fathers for intervening in the way they have. I'm always here for embarrassing dad moments, right? I'm always with the interjection. I'm going to be that dad. I'm going to be the dad, tweet stuff out of pocket. I'm going to be the dad who could
especially
go to
getting
the coach
these MT2s every Christmas. You kidding me?
Oh, what? Oh, I'm talking major head on whatever social media platform that will be inserted into my wrists when my daughter is playing college ball. I'm going to be, I'm all for the embarrassing parent. I'm with it. But shout out to De'Aaron Fox's dad, who wants all the smoke and took the beef public. Like, I need y'all on World Star with boxing gloves. Like, this, just take it all away. I'm with this. This is entertaining.
Let it be a lesson to you, NBA, who has deprived us when we were at arenas of the family area in response to LeVar Ball, I believe, where they no longer allowed the media members to be among the NBA family members. That was a thing. Life will find a way, just as it does in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Life will find a way.
Remember how we used to get ushered out so, like, vehemently?
It's so annoying. It was really demeaning, and nobody cares. I mean, they're like, oh, so sad. But it was more so odd. It was odd to have a person talking to you at your place of work and get yelled at and you know, get shouted at to leave and not have them talk to you anymore. It's very odd.
Also, I want to shout out De'Aaron Fox's father, Aaron Fox, for naming him De'Aaron.
That's great.
Which is Aaron, right? Like, that's what that means, right? Oh.
That's phenomenal.
Like, that is, if I have a child, I name him DeZach. Like, you know why?
How are you? I can name my
son. If I had a son, I could name him DeMarcus, and that would be
absolutely.
That would be dope.
How are you not touching on the funniest aspect?
No,
doesn't really work. But how are you not? How are you not touching on the funniest aspect, which is De'Aaron Fox saying that, hey, you just got to do something else if you're caught up on a couple of tweets when he's been raging against our friend Amin El Hassan
of not being able to take a comment on social media because he couldn't take a comment, an innocuous comment on TV.
Ja, right?
Are you kidding me?
Did he get into it with Ja over something?
Amin said that Ja Morant De'Aaron Fox thinks he is, which
that's right.
A little hurtful. A little hurtful by Amin.
Is it though? Is it? Like, why do you care? Why? That's my question. Why do you care? Because it was on ESPN, that's why you care. Like, I get probably. It's on TV, but come on, man. Then you can't pay attention to two tweets if that takes us down.
I actually like that quote too. You reminded me of this the hint of hypocrisy in it. Dang. It was a good quote though.
It would have been, had that not happened, it would have been a phenomenal quote. Instead, it becomes a phenomenal quote for a very different reason.
Yeah. What's interesting is what was not in the quote was support of Marvin Bagley III. There was no, this is my guy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that was very telling.
He needs to be Marvin Bagley the Gone, is what I got from
that. Wow. By the way, watch Marvin Bagley at the Drew
League. Marvin, pack your bags, Lee.
Before he was in the NBA, watch him at the Drew League. He was killing. So maybe just trade him to the Drew League, you know?
Yeah.
It might get it done. Get that taken care of. Or the EWE by you know what? He would dominate that at this point.
Completely. Yeah, that would be like a good Billy Madison. That'd be like a Billy Madison type of deal.
All right, Jade, are we doing rants?
Turns out
good?
He can't enter the NBA unless he goes back and plays his last EYBL season.
We're getting thrown out just like Marvin Bagley III at a Kings function. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you for subscribing to the Athletic NBA show. If you haven't done that, subscribe. Make sure you're checking out the Athletic. All the phenomenal coverage of this insane sports year from Ethan Strauss and Marcus Thompson, and, you know, maybe throw in a power rankings comment that's nice every once in a while on the old Zach Harper power rankings. Make sure you're checking out Basketball Buds, Tampering, Hoops Adjacent, this one, Point of Contention, Nerdist She Wrote, check out No Dunks, all the team-specific shows, House of Strauss, all that good stuff, and The Restricted Area, which is a video show on the Athletics YouTube channel with myself and Wazzy Lambre every single Thursday. We got a good one with Early Impressions coming out this Thursday. For Ethan, for Marcus, for Jade, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Marvin back.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.